Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh. Well, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
It's time to roast these turkeys. Jokes, music. And welcome to yet another basted episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. What can America do for you? I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Fun fact, the answer to that question is go away.
Just stop doing what you're doing. Don't look at it. Don't talk to it.
I'm not saying it's our own juices
or like a butter thing or like
it's a mix.
Alcohol based. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bouillabaisse of.
I do like to ferment in my own juices.
I'm not saying things aren't, you know, bad and stupid in America, because they are. It's also really weird now. Like
more
the discourse
usual.
And everything is just like, it's just odd. It's really odd. I don't know.
It's weird dealing with unprecedented historical events and also have to be like, well, there's also Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to go to work.
I also have to go shopping.
All right, let's see. Now, okay, obviously, in right after we recorded last week's episode, some enormous news dropped about regular Eurovision.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. We're doing junior previews
where that doesn't matter.
We're kind of locked in. We will absolutely talk about this a ton, but it's going to be after these previews. And after we kind of see how some other things develop as well. I think rather than saying that's interesting, let's wait and see what happens. We're going to wait and see what happens and then talk about it, I think is the plan.
It's actually a blessing to have to wait a couple of weeks to actually talk about this, because other things will have resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other things news is going to happen. Like more things are going to change. And,
yes, I'm using the verb resolve very liberally.
I see. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Panarctic Vision also coming up, I think, this weekend as of the time of recording.
Yes.
We will definitely be talking about that as well. But you know what? Junior. We will keep covering Junior until morale improves. So
that's
let's,
us. That's what
this is
going
to fix everything.
That's what you tune in for us for, you know, I hope.
Hey, speaking of morale improving, Sam, you want to hit him with the socials?
Oh yeah, social media. That's where all joy in this world comes from. Yeah.
The listeners love it. The high point of the episode. They never skip over it. They never hit the 30-second skip. They love it.
I mean, I guess that's what I mean. And does that mean that I have to do this for like stretches out for 45 seconds or something? I've never actually timed this. Anyway, y'all at home can find us on all the standard, substandard, and super standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page, or support us with a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained monthly donation over on our Patreon page. And whether you support us financially or not, we love, appreciate you either way. Patreon support however, do get exclusive content, early access to episodes, and shout-outs when you sign up, like our new patron, James McGinn. Hi, James. We see you. We think you're awesome. And we are very, very grateful that you decided to join us. Hi.
Sent us a very kind note as well about us, our favorite subject. So thank you, James. Seriously, this is great. It's great to have you. We'll post some cool stuff just for you and the others, but mostly you. You're our favorite. We just want you to know that.
Yay.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. For our American listeners, by the time this episode posts, it'll probably be just after Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're just coming out of your tryptophan-induced comas and your Black Friday shopping injuries. So hopefully you're, you know, relaxed in a comfortable, happy place right now, and you can put your feet up and enjoy your last bits of leftovers. And if you're not listening in the United States, well, I hope you're having a wonderful meal or whatever it is that you're doing on whatever it is that you're listening to our show on. So yay you.
Yeah. For those in Europe who aren't familiar, Thanksgiving is the holiday that is the basis of the Eli Roth film Thanksgiving. And everyone loved that film so much, we started doing that for real.
That's right. Based on a true holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sequel comes out next year.
Does it really?
Yes.
Why should I be surprised at this point?
I mean, why not?
Junior Eurovision every year. Why do they?
The first one wasn't necessary, so why don't we just do another one?
Yeah,
this one was fun.
The story of Western
culture. It was all right. It's a Thanksgiving themed slasher movie for sure.
I don't know. Is it anywhere as good as Beaster Day? Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Of course not. No, nothing can beat that movie podcast. We should stop.
Yes. Yeah. Let's stop talking about movies that are very much not appropriate for children. And let's talk about maybe some songs that might be. Hooray.
Maybe.
Anyway, as I mentioned in our last episode, we are basically going in the running order of the contest. So we will start our episode today with the entry from Ukraine. This is Motanka, being sung by Sofia Nersesian. Let's hear a snippet of that. All right, that was a snippet of Motanka by Ukraine's Sofia Nersesian. She is 10 years old from Kyiv and the winner of this year's national final. Was also on the long list for last year's national final, but didn't make it to the televised round. She is of Armenian descent. Song was co-written by Svetlana Tarabova. Tarabarova, I'm sorry, I always mess up her name, even though she's a very, very talented songwriter. She also wrote Ukraine's junior Eurovision entries Kvitka in 2023 and Hear Me Christ. Now last year. A bit of context, a motanka is a sort of yarn rag doll common in Ukraine, Poland, and Belarus, typically made without any facial features, sometimes just a cross on the face, said to be a protector of children. They say, according to folk tales, that the doll will glow if the child who owns the doll is in danger. So that's sort of the running theme from the song. So now with that little bit of info, let's start with Derek this time around. What do you think about Motanka?
Just having that knowledge just fills me with this deep sense of despair and dread. Oh my God.
And if you say something terrible about the song, a ragdoll is going to come up and strangle you?
No, that there's these ragdolls that glow if the children are in danger. And I'm just like, oh God, this is not an image I wanted. I'm not surprised at all that the same songwriting team worked on this in the last couple because it's very similar. I think this is kind of a perfect entry for a Eurovision song. It's super catchy. It's got a lot of like traditional ethnic sound, but it's also very modern. She has such an interesting voice that I just can't get over. And I can't get over the fact that she's only 10. And I want to know, what is she going to sound like when she's 20? Like, I'm going to have to set a reminder for myself for 10 years. Hey, check out this girl. See if she's still singing. See what she sounds like. Because there's like a richness and a depth to it that I would not assume sounds like a 10-year-old girl. In fact, I think when I first listened to it, I thought this is a boy. Which, I'm sorry. I saw the live performance.
I mean, yeah, that's fine.
I saw the live performance. She seems very natural on stage. She performs this really well. She sounds really good. Yeah, I think this is another fantastic entry from Ukraine, but that's kind of standard at this point, isn't it?
Danny?
I'm just going to say I don't find it particularly thrilling. There's a couple of entries this go round that are either annoyingly flashy, we'll get to that in a couple songs, or just are kind of doing their own thing, which is like really, really refreshing. And I don't think this really qualifies as either. Ukraine has released a couple of songs that I really like for JESC over the years, but this one just sort of feels like it's running in the middle. I don't feel a call to action. Half of that is that it's in Ukrainian. I'm not picking up on, so there's no like lyrical resonance for me, but I don't know. Motanka is not jumping out at me.
All right, Eric, you seem perturbed.
Yeah, I'm perturbed at Danny for being
wrong. Yeah, probably.
So this rules. Like, you could tell from the opening moments that this was going to be awesome. And it is. This is as close as we've gotten to the, I think, platonic ideal Ukrainian junior entry, which I have dubbed Lil Shum. This is not quite Lil Shum, but it's close. This is great. It's got you know, a dance that you can do. We've talked about how songs being kind of made for TikTok. I think this is a good example of that. Not the most prime example from this week. We'll get to that. But this is great. I'm a little surprised for as great as their songs have consistently been, Ukraine has not been able to get to the top in the last few years. They do have a junior win, don't they?
Yes.
But it's been a long time.
Over a decade at this point, Nebo. Yeah.
I mean, between Kvitka and Vasil.
Vikrivai, that one.
Vikrivai. Yeah. Like, so good. So good. Excited for Elena Yusenko to be in Vidbir, like we've been calling for the last 4 years. And it's maybe happening. I got long listed. Oh crap! I talked about regular Eurovision.
Oh no! Bring it back.
This song, the Lil Shum is great. And I really think this could, if we're looking for something a little unusual this year, I think that this could maybe do it. Maybe.
Lil Shum, just because it has Shum. 5 seconds of breakdown.
It's not just the 5 seconds of breakdown.
This is Molitva. That's what this is.
Molitva.
Really?
Yes.
That's what it's closer to. That's what it sounds like. Am I going insane? I don't feel like we're listening to the same song. Else? No, that is this song. I swear. Everything that is not the twangy, like, diet balalaika. I'm being way too mean to this girl.
Yes.
Everything that isn't that just sounds like a Balkan ballad from the 2000s. Like, I don't know.
I'm so confused.
Is it just the fact that it's a three-syllable word beginning with M that you're thinking Motanka and Molitva are first cousins? Because, I mean, that's not the same language.
Also, Nersesian?
Yeah.
Does not sound like a Ukrainian last name.
No, she is of Ukrainian and Armenian descent.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. Danny's wrong. Lil Shum rocks. Sam, what do you think?
I sure am.
I really do like this. I think that, again, speaking as somebody who sang, you know, when I was a kid with a rather deep voice for a female singer, like I see a lot of myself in this. And I love seeing her kick ass and having a low alto part really kind of being featured at Junior, which is not something you see a lot. So I'm like, yes, get it, Sophia. It makes the 10-year-old version of me very happy because somebody had to sing the lowest notes and often that was me. I think that it does have an immediate hook, both in terms of the chorus that's a sort of more traditional big motanga. Yeah, I find that really memorable, as well as the more upbeat parts I do find catchy as well. So to have both of those flavors, the upbeat and the slow, both meld together, I've found this really quite engaging. I think Sophia, for performing this as young as she is, she really, really has a good handle on it, and she's really performing the heck out of it. I love the fact that it has such a local point of view, using the symbol of the doll, as you know, this is something that is very, you know, Ukrainian plus Polish plus Belarusian, plus knowing what's going on in Ukraine. It's I think a very smart way of saying, you know, children are in danger right now, but we're not making it the forefront of the song. It's I think it's well written in that way, that it's a song about a child living through conflict, but you don't feel disheartened by it, I think is the best way to say it. That it's not the first time that Ukraine has worked with this theme. Hopefully it will be the last, because, you know, we of course wish for peace in that region more than anything. Well, in all regions really, but we're going to cut this part because I'm just babbling at this point. But okay. I think in terms of songwriting, in terms of performance, in terms of catchiness, I'm a big fan of this one. So yeah, Ukraine, thumbs up for me.
What they don't tell you is that the reason the children are in danger is because the doll is glowing.
Oh, no.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it was taken from the exclusion zone.
Oh, no.
All that radium in it.
Oh.
Well, we've ruined that. Sam, what song do we get to ruin next?
Well, funny you should say. It's ruined.
Oh, I didn't even plan that. That's awesome. Good job.
That was gorgeous. That was a fantastic segue. Let's talk about Ireland. Lottie O'Driscoll Murray with Ruin Secrets. Here's a snippet. Talking God King with him smocked around his neck and Ogandah down. I told
как и сейп, чит вули буря, маклит свинта, баска макем.
All right, that is a snippet of Ruin, or Secrets in Irish. Representing Ireland this year is Lottie O'Driscoll-Murray, 14 years old, from County Cork. She was the runner-up in last year's Junior Eurovision selection for Ireland. Song was written by Ian James White and Nikki Brennan, as well as others, but the two of them were also on the songwriting team for Le Chéile, last year's Irish Junior Eurovision song, a song that was very well loved on this podcast, underappreciated by voters. So do we think that Ruin is going to suffer the same fate, or will it climb higher in the rankings? Danny, what do you think?
Sam, what are the lyrics about here? You know, we're doing a couple of songs this week that have like a smattering of a couple of English lyrics here and there. That's kind of like the plurality of songs this year at JESE. But what's the bulk of the lyrical content here?
It's about it's
dealing with dealing with emotions between people. Not necessarily a love song per se, but certainly a relationship and connection song. Finding strength in connection.
Sure. I guess that makes sense. You sort of get that feeling from the music. We did it a couple of months ago, even when I was on the podcast, where we talked about just sort of like the universality of certain songs that just sort of have that feeling. You can sort of get the message without even needing to know the language that it's being sung in. That kind of feels like what's going on here. But in a way, there's something just, I don't know, kind of lost in translation here. Again, just sort of sinking into the middle, just like with Ukraine's song for me. I have to dock at a couple of points there. There's a couple of sort of like Junior Eurovision cliches here. I don't like that in the second half we have to like go into this like moment where there's like snare drum inspiring military march thing in the background going on. You know, it's, you know, there's like chimes ringing out with certain parts of the song. It feels very inspirational. It feels like capital I inspirational, like you'd buy this in the inspirational music section of your record store. I can't be too mean to the kids, because again, I didn't specify this with the Ukrainian girl. Yeah, she sounds great, and I love the deep voice. I love, we got a 10-year-old girl who's singing an alto part. Really, really insane. This one, again, she sounds fine. It's just that it is it's kind of a format of song that feels specifically tooled for Junior Eurovision, a kind of song that just wouldn't really stand on its own elsewhere. It's a real shame, because this also doesn't sound like a particularly Irish song. I know that that hasn't been a winning strategy for them in the past, having a song that really embraces the Celtic heritage, the Celtic culture, but I miss it. I miss that that's kind of not here in this song, when that's sort of really been what their JESE entries have been all about.
That's a good segue into what I was going to say. I love that Ireland at Junior sends songs in Irish. I absolutely love it. However, the other thing I love about when they do that, for the most part, is that it sounds very traditional and it sounds very Irish. It sounds like something that could not have been sent by any other country. My issue with this song is that it sounds like it could have been sent by any other country, except for the fact that it's in Irish. But it doesn't, this is a weird thing to say, but it doesn't feel Irish.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel Irish.
It feels like a fairly straightforward ballad that happens to be in a language I don't speak.
This could have been Germany's song.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, it doesn't matter what language it's in.
Yeah.
But give me a song like Banshee or Solas, something like that, that really seems to capture the Irish vibe, as it were. Because this just doesn't do that. It's nice. It's well sung. I think it's just going to struggle to get attention. I think it's a lot of ballads this year. And a lot of them have, you know, little things going for them here and there. In some cases, big things going for them here and there. This doesn't do it for me. I don't think it has the hook that a song in a contest like this should have. And it doesn't really have that Irish connection that I think they've been so good with for most of the time we've been doing this show, last year being the weird exception in that they sent something that was completely different. It was just also absolutely slapped. Sam?
I kind of disagree with you guys. For me, when I heard this, even beyond the language, this did read to me as very Irish. And you don't necessarily need a bodhran and fiddle in order for it to sound Irish. You don't want to play on cliche because, frankly, they've done that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The fact that it's in the language, I mean, it's incredible. And also considering that, you know, while there's certainly an Irish language revival, especially among younger generations, this is almost certainly not Lottie's first language. So she's also working with a handicap that others are probably not. So I wanted to also put that just out into the universe that it's hard enough to sing in front of a huge audience, but to do so in a language that you, I'm assuming, are not fully fluent in is amazing. Anyway, back to the song itself. When I heard this, I mean, my Irish is not really existent. I was immediately able to pick that this was an Irish song. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's just the structure or just the way it built. But I think of another song that we actually, I think, brought up a couple of weeks ago was the song You Raise Me Up, which was a Norwegian-Irish, you know, a squished together collaboration between Rolf Loveland and Brendan Graham, two of the guys who had won Eurovision multiple times as songwriters.
Yep.
Now, You Raise Me Up has been most notably, you know, you think that song, you think Josh Groban, you think maybe Westlife. But to me, there's something distinctly Irish about it that I cannot put my finger on. I can't, I'm not a musicologist. I can't identify what that is. I find that same vibe in Ruin, which is indescribable. I don't know what it is, but it has that sense of place without me being whacked over the head with a potato. I thought it felt good. I shouldn't think she sings the hell out of it. Is it, I worry that it might be a little bit overshadowed between two songs in this running order that are going to be very high energy, maybe possibly, you know, more attention grabbing. Do I worry? Sure. Ireland always has a bit of an uphill to climb, but I think it's lovely. And I think she sings the hell out of it. So I'm not negative on this one at all. Derek, what do you think?
I don't know why I'm the only one who's saying this, and maybe I'm wrong. There's something about this song that strikes me as kind of old school.
Yeah, I mean, You Raise Me Up certainly isn't a modern song. No, but
stylistically, like the piano backing and the vocals, but then like that, the backing singers come in and something about it kind of feels a little, not, I don't want to say dated, but like, oh, maybe old fashioned. Like it feels like kind of a classic ballad, which is such an odd choice for Junior. Like when I listen to this and I'm thinking, is this what the kids are into? That they would listen to this and think, yeah, I'm going to go climb that mountain the way the girl I guess is doing in the mountains of Ireland. It's just a pile.
We've been
of
there. There are some pretty significant hills over there.
There's some hills. Oh, pre-sleep. Oh. Anyway, you could just, yeah, but there's a path.
If the sheep can do it, so can we.
The sheep are incredible. Come on. I don't think it helps that in the music video, she's wearing like this silver dress and this like black stage with white light. And immediately my head just went, is that Pat Benatar? Or, I know, it's weird. It kind of had that. Suddenly I'm just like late 70s, early 80s sort of style to it. And I'm just like, okay, that's just sort of reinforcing this feeling. I don't have anything against it personally. I would agree that something about it feels Irish, but I could not tell you what it is. It has, because we listen to so much of their music and they have a very distinct sort of approach to ballads or that kind of music that, like, I get it. Yes, this is their take on it. I'm not as excited about this. I do kind of prefer the more traditional stuff, but I understand that they can't send that every single year. I think it's fine. I think she's a good singer. I wish there was a little bit more to it.
All right. That's fair. We ready to move on to song number three tonight then?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
We don't have a great segue this time. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, unless we have some awkward dead air and just say, hey, freeze.
Or the police kicking your door.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah, what if we get swatted right now?
Who's your favorite Batman and Robin villain?
Oh, Poison Ivy.
Ah, shoot. Okay. Anyway, here's Freeze from the Netherlands.
Here's Meadow.
Let's go.
All right, that was Meadow from the Netherlands singing their song this year, Freeze. She is 14 years old from the town of Roermond in the south of the country. She already has stage experience, having performed in productions of The Bodyguard and Frozen, and she's also a voiceover artist. One of the songwriters is Elke Thiel, who's also on the songwriting list for Cyprus's Eurovision entries in 2024 and 2025. So that is Liar and Shh, one of which did better than the other. Anyway, let's talk about Meadow. Eric, what do you think?
I don't know. This is everything about this song screams TikTok. The dance, the sudden wait, freeze, but you know what I mean. It very much feels like a product of the Netherlands. And what they do at Junior, they send these sort of fun, danceable, spunky sorts of songs. And this is one of them. It definitely is. I also just feel very old. I have a hard time kind of glomming on to the memeable parts of this and things like that. But I feel like kids are going to love this. They're going to adore it. And I'm excited for that because I feel like Netherlands have been so good at Junior and have not really done super well, despite having, you know, like the best friends who were best friends. They were great.
Aww.
Holding On to You a couple of years ago was just a really good song. Yeah. Every distance they were. this isn't quite at that level for me, but I see the vision in terms of being really fun for a young audience, and that's what we should be doing here, right?
Honestly, yes. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Like it. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I think about any of these songs because I'm old and dying and so forth. Thanks for listening, everyone. Sam, what do you think about dying?
Oh, God. Hey, you guys ever think about dying?
Dying? All the time.
Yeah. Anyway, we joke on this podcast about the French acts at Junior Eurovision being factory made and just being so hyper polished. And yet we never joke about that with the Dutch kids. Like, come on.
Are you kidding? I feel like I came for the Netherlands real hard last year when they had just the whitest, blondest boy rapping. No, it wasn't quite rap, but remember when he was like, scream it from the rooftops?
Oh,
like,
yes.
You're 12.
Anyway, needless to say, Meadow is already exceptionally polished and very well experienced when it comes to actually like being able to sing and dance and perform and connect. She's very, very engaging as a performer. And I think that, the song is just tailor-made to be catchy, to be memeable, to be TikTokable. The song has it's shorter than the full 3 minutes, and two, there are lots of opportunities for dance breaks in this, and I'm intrigued and excited to see what they do with the staging, if there's going to be any sort of twist or any sort of gimmick that they put into this, because I think that they could handle it and they have the flexibility in the song to be able to do it. The song is polished in the way that Swedish Eurovision songs are often polished, which makes me feel slightly disengaged from it because it's so perfect. But I cannot fault Meadow. This is what the Dutch Junior Eurovision delegation decides to send almost every year. And sure, fine. Okay. Meh. Derek, what do you think?
Oh, how do I follow that up?
Meh?
Meh. I'm reminded of the words by Jean-Paul Sartre. I want to write something as hard as steel that makes you regret your life. This song is not that.
I was going to say, that's what this reminds you of?
No.
Okay, good.
It's this and no exit.
Dying, so hell is other people.
And they're all Dutch.
There is something. I know we talked about Ireland kind of having a thing, and now we can say that the Netherlands definitely has a thing, and they're definitely sending the most fun entries. I think they're really kind of focused on that element of it, but at the same time also being very polished. They tend to have good dance choreography and like really focused on like style and being cool rather than, you know, any kind of deeper message. I'm a little annoyed that a lot of the chorus is da 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 da, when you could have said some words that would have been fine too, but it kind of feeds into this whole like Eric said, this could be a TikTok thing where it doesn't matter what they're saying, it's just catchy and you have to listen to 30 seconds of it. I can't really fault it. I mean, this is kind of what Junior Eurovision songs should be, and I feel like we're getting a lot of songs this year that are uplifting but also sort of dour And this one is bright and colorful and fun, and it moves, and it has energy, and it's catchy. And if she can do that choreography from the music video on stage, that's going to be really cool. And yeah, there's a polish to it that makes it feel kind of effortless. And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's, they're kids. They should be having fun, and it should look cool. How is this going to do? I have no idea. But I think given what we're seeing from other countries being more serious, more big vocals and ballady, this might actually do better in comparison.
Okay, now me. The thing that we are not saying about this song, for as peppy and as actually well aimed at its target audience it is that it's overproduced. It's obviously that, like, the vibe that we're going for is that it is high energy. That it's, you know, she's connecting with the camera, and I know that she's going to be able to connect with the audience even live in the studio or the arena. Like, it's, she's going to do great here. The song just has too much happening for me. I don't know if the kids just have their AirPods in the entire day now, and they just like having this absolute onslaught of, like, hyper, real chunky bass, like the most synthetic drums in the world, and all of it is just, like, slammed at you real hard. But there's just too many effects happening in this song for my taste. I feel like it really...
Freeze!
There's just too many effects. I feel like if they would have just drawn back a couple of things, maybe had one real damn instrument in that studio, then this would have, like, a vibe that even the parents could get behind. But it just feels so commercial. It just feels so... I want to say that the way that Netherlands produces its songs for Junior Eurovision, I don't think it's quite Swedish, because I feel like the analogy is Sweden to France, because they feel uncannily perfect. I feel like the Netherlands is a little bit more like Norway. They're trying to do the Swedish machine thing, but there's just always something a little bit wobbly about it that I just don't think quite works. I don't know. You know, like, Leiter is, like, obviously, like, it's trying to do the Swedish thing from the main contest, but there's just something just not quite going on here. That's what it feels like here. It's been a little bit too produced. It's been a little bit too just postured to be a hit. They worked from let's try to make a hit and then went backwards from there instead of having a song and then tweaked it to make it a hit. I feel like there's nothing here except for gunning for it to be popular on TikTok. Really, that is how it feels.
The only thing I'll add to that is my nephew is 10, 10 and a half, I guess. This, yeah, I know. This is the kind of thing he listens to now.
Yeah.
Just like,
they're going to be like, lots of nephew is 10 and he prefers Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Like,
no. It's like, he's on his phone all the time and he's watching videos on YouTube and stuff. And it's just, it is that kind of thing. It's just lots of stimulus, lots of color, lots of noise. This is a lot more palatable than some of the things he listens to. And I'm not saying I'm an expert on, like, 10-year-olds, but I'm just saying my sample size compared to, like, is this what kids are into? Kind of, yeah.
I would be very curious. I'd be very curious to hear what his opinion is on this year's lineup.
I don't know if my brother would allow me to do that.
Come on. It's your uncly duties to foist to foist your vision.
If he's at Thanksgiving, I'm going to make him watch a couple of these.
Okay.
Uncly duties.
I'm still giggling at uncly duties.
Let's get that on a t-shirt.
Yep. Uncle duties.
Derek's uncle duties. Available get him from hot. Kofi.
No, no, we're done here. Moving on.
I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Yeah. I regret nothing. I regret everything. Anyway, this will be heavily edited. Anyway, are we ready to move on then to our next song?
Yeah.
Sure. All right, I'll take that as a sigh of resigned.
I'm just so excited. Acceptance.
All right, let's move on. Let's chat about our next song in the running order. This is Mariana Kłos from Poland with Brightest Light. Let's hear a snippet. So find your way, shine brighter than the sun. The world is yours, so take it and run. You are the brightest light. It's your time. All right, that was a quick moment from Brightest Light by Mariana Kłos from Poland. She is 12 years old from Warsaw. She was the runner-up on the most recent series of The Voice Kids in Poland. This is actually the first junior internal selection from Poland since 2018. They've normally run a national final, or they're Shansha Not Success sort of program. They just went direct for a internal selection this year. First one in quite a while. So it looks like it's my turn to start up for our commentary. And honestly, it's ironic because this is the one that I probably have the least to say about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she sings the heck out of it. Again, 12 years old, incredibly talented, very engaging. She emotes beautifully. This is a difficult song to sing, but the way that her voice kind of climbs is really, really impressive, especially those high notes, which, you know, we were talking about how impressive Sophia from Ukraine's low notes were, but Mariana from Poland, her high register is really incredible. I think it's beautiful. I think it's elegant. I worry that it's one of a handful of mid-tempo, female-led, uplifting ballads this year. And, you know, other than the voice, what is going to make it stand out from all the others? It's not bad by any stretch. I think she sings the heck out of it, but I want to know what makes it different and what makes it truly special. I can't listen to the song and say, okay, this is obviously Polish, other than the language. I mean, but then again, it's not like she's going to sing like Polishe or anything like that. You can't really, that'd be a little bit tough, especially with the solo singer. But you know, what's giving this the sense of place and the sense of local identity and the sense of uniqueness? It's not bad. It's just not standing on its own enough. Derek, what do you think?
I can't really add anything to that. I'm really impressed if she can pull these vocals off live on the night, because listening to it in studio, I'm like, she had to have taken breaks between these choruses. It's like, it's just so much. And she's so tiny. I mean, she pulls it off. I mean, that is a feat unto itself. That's deserving of acclaim there. However, the song itself, like you said, it's just kind of fine. I mean, it's sort of the same thing we've seen over and over again. I don't know what it is about this year that this was kind of the thing everybody agreed they were going to do. And I really wish, I mean, it makes the songs that are about simple things like going on your swing set, like, more resonant. When she switches to English, it's suddenly like, you're the brightest star. You can do it. And I'm like, I wish there was like more of a narrative or more of a focus. Like, it doesn't have to be these grandiose things. It can be simple. You can find victories in the small things, especially for children that are, you know, indicative of a larger success or kind of set you up for other things. I don't think we need this level of, you know, office. What do you call those? Affirmations.
Like a motivational poster.
Yes, like a motivational
poster. Like affirmations with like a picture of a mountain or like skydivers.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. And I'm like, this, kids are not into this. I can't imagine there's like a 12-year-old out there who's listening to this like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, this isn't the thing that's going to get him off the ledge. It's, again, I don't want to falter for that. Like, it's, but it does feel a little like this is what adults think kids want to hear. And they're just, clearly they don't have children of their own or something. Danny?
It seems like every now and then one of these ho-hum ballads just sort of tickles my fancy for no reason whatsoever, and that's just sort of what this is. I'll fully acknowledge that there's nothing really that separates it. It has a slightly interesting chord progression in the chorus, actually, that just feels like, okay, this wasn't the first choice. This is a sort of second draft idea, and I always appreciate that. Just it doesn't sound too generic for being a generic ballad. I think I'm picking up on a lot of pitch correction in the studio version, especially in the chorus when she is belting. So I have some worries about her singing it live. Now, the good things that I like. One, I love a kid's song that tells you to take the world and everything in it. I love a song that is this positive, that is treating kids like they are Tony Montana in Scarface. More of that. More of that. Take the world. Shine brighter than the sun. And then the other second thing, she is the cutest kid at the contest this year. She is the single cutest entity on screen. I just know it. I don't care if she doesn't hit those notes. There's something about just looking at this little girl sing. It's like, oh, you know what these kids should drill for all this world is worth. That's what they should be doing. I believe this little girl.
Danny, Eric, what are you saying? Drill, baby, drill.
Is that's that the... what she said. She could sell me on anything.
Okay, fair enough. I don't have a ton to add. She does look a lot like Alexander Demid from Kvitka.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is the cutest thing that has ever happened at any Eurovision.
Grown up by like 3 years, yeah.
I don't know. You weren't there for Chrissia with Planet of the Children from Bulgaria, who was just like...
Planet of the Children?
Yes, Bulgaria.
Oh, my favorite Twilight Zone.
With Earth All Along.
Yeah, Bulgaria 2014. Look it up.
No.
Well, fine.
I...
You have free will.
Yeah, it's funny. I keep thinking to myself, like, oh, okay, it's another ballad. And then I think, like, well, if it's really well sung, maybe it strikes a chord and it does really well. That's basically what happened last year. I don't think any of us were expecting that song to win.
Oh, like, no, that was totally, about Mom. Yeah.
That was, I mean, yeah, it had a little more heartstringy thing to it than this song does. But that was a total shock to me. Like, it wasn't even on my radar as like, oh, this might win. And then it won pretty comfortably because it was really well performed and staged gorgeously. And I think this has the potential for that. And I mean, and let's be real, Poland does very well at this. The voting system that they have is good for them just because of the way that it is. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a whole lot to say about the song itself. It's a ballad. It's very adorable. And I don't know.
Yeah, if this does take the win, I won't begrudge it. Like, I get why.
I mean, if it she's got to knock it out of the park, though. Like, then I would understand why. If it was just kind of like it is in the music video or whatever, I don't know that I would get it because it just doesn't stand out that much to me. But I don't know. Boy, I hope it's not another battle. Oh.
Anyway, Leah, let's wrap this up with our last song of the show. It's coming in from North Macedonia, a country that doesn't take part in the big contest, but it does at Junior, and we're happy to see them there. This is Nela Manceska with Miracle. Let's hear a snippet. All right, that was Nela Manceska from North Macedonia and her song Miracle. She is 13 years old, from Skopje originally. Definitely some experience in the songwriting team. Composer Lazar Stetkovsky worked on North Macedonian Junior entries Fire and Marathon, as well as Eurovision songs Pred da se razdeni in 2013, To the Sky in 2014, Proud in 2019. Fall from the Sky, which should have been Albania's entry in 2020, was also one of his. His sister, lyricist Magdalena Svetkovska, also worked on Fire, Marathon, and Pred da se razdeni. So definitely a lot of experience, both a junior and senior, from the songwriting pair. And Derek, I believe we start off with you.
Oh, but I do deserve this.
Happens to the best of us.
I know, right? Okay. It's interesting going from Poland to this one, because I feel like it's sort of doing a similar thing. Big female-led ballad. I'm surprised they put these two songs next to each other, but I guess, you know, maybe it just came down to it. I will credit her for this, though. I think she's doing... I haven't seen this live. I've only heard the studio version. She's doing some really cool things with her vocal inflection, where she kind of, like, modulates while she's singing. And I think that... I always find that a little bit more interesting than just kind of one big continuous note or one note that just sort of grows in a line and that it would oscillate a bit. I think, I think her vocal work is really interesting. I don't think the song itself, yeah, it's fine. The chorus is, I'm a miracle, which is such an odd phrasing, I think, in a contest like this, because you'd usually expect it to be something like, you are a miracle, or we are miracles, but no, it's, I'm a miracle. That very personalized message. I'm not sure how to take that. If it were an adult, I would look at this and be like, whoa, this is a narcissistic trip right here. But because it's a child, I think it sort of works in that I believe in myself and I can do whatever I want to do. I can't fault it. It's going to be, we're going from Poland to this, though. And I wonder if she's going to suffer a little bit. If Poland does manage to hit all those notes and sound fantastic, then this is going to sort of feel like a rehash of kind of the same thing. I think this song stands on its own. I think it's really well performed. Again, lyrically, I'm just kind of like, okay, that's fine. Those are my thoughts. Daniel?
I think it's helpful that we are doing this in the running order, because it really is just sort of like pointing out the fact that if these two songs had been split up, just put somewhere else, then there might be something of benefit just in terms of being able to Oh, do we have an intermission here? Is this the interval?
I mean, possibly. Well, I mean, we don't know. We don't have, you know, the full script here or anything like that. We don't know where the divvy is. However, Poland is song number 9, North Macedonia is song number 10, which is the halfway point of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it could kind of make sense for there to be a break in between these two songs.
Yeah.
It should also be noted that the next song in the running order, Montenegro's Asia Djokovic, is also a ballad. So yeah. Chances are there's either going to be a split between Poland and North Macedonia or North Macedonia and Montenegro. Because 3 ballads in a row, a junior, that is a lot.
One of them is going to stick out. One of them is going to get more votes. It's impossible to predict. This sort of thing has happened at the main contest where they've just had like 4 down-tempo songs in a row. And then all of a sudden they put Sweden after it. Wonder why. I don't know. Similar positives, you know, she's fantastic. She's belting as hard as she can. She's doing great vocal work. The song is elevated by that fact because it is just a generic female-led ballad. It's impossible to know which of these 3 in a row is going to stand out. I don't know. I am not a child. I am not a European bookmaker either. So I don't know. Eric?
I like this one. And granted, it is another ballad. I guess this episode reminds me of like the middle of the 2022 Eurovision final, where it was just and like there were good songs in there. Let me refresh your memory if you're not thinking about this. Right after Stefania, we had Rock Stars from Germany, Sentimenti, Fade to Black by the Azerbaijan guy, Miss You by Jeremy McKees, Die Together, Sister from Iceland,
yeah,
and then Renelettul.
That is the exact run
that was.
I was like, what was the one where it's the Iceland girl with the acoustic guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that went right before Renelettul.
Wow, yeah,
Eurovision baby. Anyway, this is a ballad, and I think it has a couple of things going for it. I think it has some of those ethnopop vibes that we like from this part of the world in just a little flavor, you know, a little paprika on our white meat chicken sandwich. Also, I think that, boy, this is going great. I also think that there are some vocal acrobatics here that are really impressive. She does some vocal runs in the song that are very difficult. And it is definitely another thing where, like, if this falls flat on its face, it's just going to kind of sound awkward. Conversely, if Poland right before this does that, then the door, I think, swings open for this, if she can nail it to be like, oh, you call that a ballad? This is a ballad. The only other thing I will note is that I agree with Derek on the sentiment of the phrase, I am a miracle. I feel like there's an implication that there's a story here. I'm guessing the answer is no. Is there a story to this? Was she like a preemie or something? I don't know what I mean though.
I haven't heard anything specific, and I'm sure that if there was some sort of heart tugging story, the delegation probably would have shared that by now. Okay. The lyrics of the song don't seem to indicate that either. It's mostly just I'm gonna get through everything. The world is a dream, it's not magic. I will be the light in the dark, which is interesting just following Poland. I'll be a light in the dark. My shine will leave a mark. I'm a miracle.
So it's just every life is precious.
Honestly, this song might have benefited from a singer who had survived some kind of
emergency
or something. I feel like
it kind of feels like that's what's being implied by that. It's such a strong phrasing, but at the same time, this is a song from North Macedonia, and it could just be a choppy translation. Like, we don't know.
It's a miracle that North Macedonia is participating at a Eurovision event right now. I mean, we're happy to have them.
That's what the song's about.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam, what do you think?
Honestly, I think a lot of what I'm thinking about the song has already been said. A beautiful song, really well performed. I worry about it being compared to what is directly before, what is directly after it. I think that the running order is doing it absolutely no favors in either direction. The fact that it's sort of would this be considered a minor key after the sort of uplifting song from Poland? That it feels just in terms of its key and its structure, that's sort of
less, in terms of vibe, if nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's a bit more melancholy. I mean,
I'm sad that I'm a miracle.
Oh, it's like, it feels like I've been through hell and I'm a miracle, but I'm still here. Even if the lyrics aren't necessarily reflecting that, it sounds more like the song makes it sound more difficult than it actually, I think, is. Is it lovely? Is it beautiful? Yes, but I'm splitting hairs here. And again, I had to listen to the song once or twice before I really, really got the hook of it. It just doesn't necessarily have the immediacy for me that Fire did from the same songwriting team. And it's not quite there. So as per usual, we are going to end our show with our bottom and our top of the week. Derek, let's start with you. What was your least favorite song of this batch?
I'm the bad guy here.
I mean, everybody is. That's why we ended. Why we ended positive.
I always feel a little guilty doing this part with the children. The adults, I don't feel anything for.
I mean, the thing is, at least we've said time and time again, whatever we're not insulting the kids. It's not.
No, I think I think this is an odd week because I think there's a couple that really stand out, and everything else is just sort of in the middle. I wouldn't say any of the songs this week are bad necessarily, but my least favorite would probably be Ireland.
Danny, say you?
Terror.
It's the Netherlands. Let's talk about a song that's not for me. It was not made for me.
Eric?
I'm going to go with Poland. I think I like Ireland a little bit more. It's close. I don't feel much for either of them, to be honest. But yeah, for me, it's Poland. Sam?
And it's going to be four different ones for us this week, because my least favorite was North Macedonia.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a week.
How many times has that happened?
I didn't have the impression that it was low on your list.
In the history of this show.
None of these songs are songs that I dislike.
Oh, I don't dislike any of these.
Yeah, it's all comparison. Yeah, exactly. These are all noble efforts. These kids should all be super, super proud of what they're serving this year in Tbilisi. And of course, we wish them all the best success for December and beyond. So let's end this with a high note. Derek, which one was your favorite of the week?
Ukraine.
Well, that was
no
easy.
Question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Danny?
Despite what I said at the beginning of the program, it is like kind of with a shrug I say Ukraine. Like, you know, Ukraine, I guess. Of these five, Ukraine.
Eric?
Ukraine.
And we're four for four. So
Jeez.
Every country got a vote. It's just that not every country gets the type of vote that you want.
Oh dearie.
Congratulations, everyone. You did it. What a week.
Wow. And you know, the hits are just gonna keep on coming. We've got two more of these preview shows coming up for you in the next couple of weeks. You know how to reach us. Find us on social media at 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. Let us know if you have any questions. How completely off the mark are we? Are our predictions completely wrong? What are you seeing that we're not? Let us know. Reach out to us. We love hearing from you. But until then, everybody, we will see you on our next episode. And I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
What killed the dinosaurs?
Ice Age.
Ice Age.